Sister Akinbala made mention of the poem by Mona Lake Jones, and it says, "A room full of sisters like jewels in a crown, vanilla, cinnamon, and dark chocolate brown." This evening, I have the honor of introducing, I call her my sister friend, but I also call her Florence Nightingale. I met Deborah a couple of years ago in, through the different community activities and work that we do together. But, and you can read her bio here, but I want to talk about the Deborah that I met on June the 2nd. I wasn't feeling my best that day, and I didn't really know why I wasn't feeling that way. But, of course, I called Deborah, and I was telling her how I was feeling, and she said, "Well, Jackie, did you test yourself? Have you do you have any tests at home? Did you test yourself for the COVID?" And I said, "I've taken all of my vaccinations. Surely I wouldn't have COVID." And she said, "Well, go on and test yourself." And so I did, and the tests came back. There was some old-looking tests, but anyway, it said that it was positive. And so she got in her car, her truck, rather, and she drove to my apartment to take me to the emergency room. And if you know anything about Deborah, Deborah herself is, would be classified as one of those persons who would be a high risk because she's a cancer survivor. And so, you know, they're telling you when you got COVID, you know, you have to protect yourself. But she didn't think about that at all. She came that night and she took me to the hospital. And we stayed, they told me all of that. And when we came back, we came into the house and I heard on the phone and she was calling her son and she said, "Well, I'm going to spend the night with her." And she said, she's not looking too good. I'm going to stay with her to see if everything is okay. And I remember, I didn't realize I was as sick as I was. And I can remember her going in and putting on these masks and coverings for herself. And she made a pallet, as they say, on the couch in the other room. And she spoke to me from that room. And I tell you, she came in there all covered up, making soup, bringing all kinds of Gatorade and all kinds of things to make sure that I wasn't dehydrated. And I thought, I said, you know, at the risk, and I was telling her, I said, "Deborah, you can't do that." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "God's got me. He's got me covered. And we're gonna both be okay." And after a while, I said, do you have to bring any more of that special tea?" And she was like, you know, she was in there. And the whole time she'd come through and she was praying. And she was saying, she said, "You know, I got to pray for you." So I remember Deborah as being that praying friend for me. And I remember her that. And I will always love her for that, that she took the time out to do that. And so when you talk about a giving heart, a trusting heart, if any given day, if you're walking through the community in Austin, you're going to see Deborah somewhere doing something for somebody, whether it's in that garden trying to get food to take to some little elderly person or somebody who's needing something. And every time she goes, she's going with a prayer. And she's going to pray, and she's going to do that. And she's not going to come back and talk about it. And she said, "Jackie, it's going to be okay. It's, you know, I've already talked to the Lord about it." And so this evening, I wanted to introduce my friend and God's angel, Mr. Board Duncan, if you'll receive her now.
Good evening. I am delighted to be here with you tonight. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and my redeemer, I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I want to thank my sister for that warm introduction. And then I would be remiss not to speak to you about your pastor, the Reverend Dr. Ricky Freeman, and how I met him. I came to meet him because one of your faithful members at this church called me and said that a person showed up on your doorstep that needed some sincere help. And your pastor wasn't sure what resources to give that person. And because it was a stranger, we never know when we are entertaining strangers unaware, angels unaware. And your pastor welcomed that stranger into this house of prayer. And I want to just say to you tonight that that person who came to this door happened to have HIV. The pastor didn't say, leave. He said, what can I do to help you? And I want to thank you for that. And as a result, I gave him resources that he could use in the future for whatever reason. And not just for that. And I gave him my personal cell phone number, and he gave me his personal cell phone number. So that if the situation ever came up for something that I could do to assist, I would. And tonight, you know, this theme for Women's Day is women under construction being built on a true foundation. And it kind of reminds me of the three little pigs. I think you remember that story. They figured out what foundation was going to keep their house steady. So that when the big bad wolf came to blow it down, he couldn't handle it because it wasn't strong. It was brick. But tonight, I'm here, and I have been asked to speak to you on Psalms 51 and 10. And that psalm says, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. So when you came in the door tonight, you were given an index card. If you didn't get one, please make sure you have it. You should have a pen, because we're going to examine our hearts tonight. And I'm going to ask you to take your pens out and draw a line down the middle of your index card. And one side, you're going to write unclean heart. And the other side, you're going to write a clean heart. Okay? You were also given a candle when you came in. You're going to be given a very small bead. It's very, very hard. And some of us have a hard heart. I had a brick, but I went off and I forgot it. I had a brick. Because it's very difficult to break through a brick. And then you got a heart. This heart is very soft. Some people have a soft heart. Some people have a hard heart. So while we're passing out what you need for tonight, if you have your card, you need a pen or anything like that, make sure that you keep your hand high so that you can get that. At some point, we're going to pass out the bead. We didn't give you the bead right away because I had a very, very intelligent usher to inform me that they might roll around, and when it was time for you to use it, you wouldn't know where it was or you couldn't get it. So we're going to give that to you at the time when you need it. Raise your hand high so they can see it. Okay. So as we move along tonight with what we're going to be demonstrating, I want to just say that Psalms 51 and 10, We meet somebody named David, a king. And David was a lot of things. David was wicked, but David had a contrite heart. And he loved God. And that was what God loved about him, that he loved God. And he loved the things that God loved. So David is going to be our poster child. That's how we're going to look at him. He's going to be our poster child. He's a man, a king, but we're going to demonstrate him as the poster child. We're going to put him up on a pedestal, on a throne, like he had. But we're going to
dissect and look at David. And there are three terms that we're going to be going back and forth with tonight, which are our iniquities, our transgressions, and our sins. And in the Bible, these are interchangeable. And I also would be remiss not to just say thank you to all of you who are giving your gift of time on a Friday night, including my members from St. James Baptist Church. I'm so happy to see so many of you and all of my just friends that I see in the audience tonight. So is everybody ready with your okay, we still need some up here. So we're going to have a bead, you have a candle, and you have a heart. Some of you may have even received a mirror. It's a little compact, because we're going to have a mirror test too. You may have gotten a compact. And when that time comes, you may go into your own purse or pocketbook and get your compact out as we have the mirror test today. So as we are preparing for what we're going to do, I want you just to start thinking about what it means to be cleansed and to be washed the way that God can wash you and the way that God can cleanse you, because nothing can wash away our sins except the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make us whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Raise your hand high. I still see a few hands. Please raise your hands up high so that you can get what you need. And I thank you for your eagerness to participate. I think we're going to be in a different place when we leave tonight. That's my hope, is that we're in a different place when we leave tonight. Also, we're going to examine, and as you see, as I share with you tonight, the song that the sister sang that was so beautiful and so delightful, and she was just all over my message. The song speaks to the rich and the poor, the Beatitudes, the meek. She spoke to it. So we're going to be looking at, and I don't have time to read all these things, so as I go along, I want you to keep them in mind. The Beatitudes, and if you ever went to Sunday school and Baptist training, you know what I'm talking about. The Ten Commandments and the fruits of the Spirit. All of them are going to be a part of what we're doing tonight. So now I think everybody is ready. Is everybody ready? Say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. All right. We're ready to go. So Psalms 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. And my subject tonight is a question for you. Do you have heart trouble? Do you have heart trouble? You know, we have a physical heart, which is the heart of the flesh. And we have a spiritual heart. And I call that the heart of the mind and the soul and the body. And that's where all of our transgressions and our iniquities and our sins come into play. Because our mind plays tricks on us sometimes. And sometimes we do things that we don't want to do, but we do them anyway, and then we ask God to forgive us. You know, we're talking about David. Okay? David, as I said before, he was wicked. So we're going to work on our heart tonight. And I want to start by singing a little hymn, this old spiritual that my mother used to sing. And I don't know if any of you know it or not, but I think you will remember it after tonight. And it's a song called Well, Well, Well. Well, 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 my soul needs a meeting. Well, 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 my soul needs a meeting. Well,
well, well, my soul needs a meeting, meeting at the beautiful pearly gates. Well, 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 my mind needs a healing. Well, 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 my mind needs a healing. Well, 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 my mind needs a healing, healing at the beautiful pearly gates. Well, 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 my heart needs a fixing. Well, 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 my heart needs a fixing. Well, 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 my heart needs a fixing, fixing at the beautiful pearly gates. Well, 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 let me die easy. Well, 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 let me die easy. Well, 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 let me die easy, easy at the beautiful pearly gates. Well, well, well.
Now it's your turn. We're going to see what type of hearts we have tonight. So it's time for you to take out your index card, your pen, draw a line down the middle. And one side is going to say a clean heart, a clean heart, which is a heart of flesh, a clean heart. That's this heart that's so soft. That's this one. And then the other one, which you will get later, and I had a brick, so just think this, visualize this, pretend this is a brick. It's a bead, but it's very, very hard. And that is the unclean heart, which is a heart of stone. Okay? Now, you can pick and choose what you want to write down on either side. And it's just for you. And it's for you to examine and work on your heart. Some people may have a combination of both, but you know you can't be lukewarm. You have to be one way or the other. Therefore, to thine own self be true. And no one has to see it except for you, unless you care to share it with somebody. But be careful. So, we're going to do some comparison. We're going to do a comparative analysis here. So, a clean heart is loving. If that's you, write it down. An unclean heart is you're jealous hearted. On the other hand, peaceful is a clean heart. Envious is part of an unclean heart. Giving is part of a clean heart. And an ungenuous heart is stingy. You're not generous, an ungenerous heart. You're a stingy person. A clean heart, you're trustworthy. An unclean heart, you're untrustworthy. A clean heart, you're kind-hearted. A heart of stone, you're hard-hearted. If you have a clean heart, you're merciful. If you have a hard heart or a heart of stone, you're deceitful and you're a gossiper. If you have a clean heart, you're obedient. If you have an unclean heart, you are a trespasser. You know what that is, just walk over folk. And there are other meanings of it as well. If you have a clean heart, you have a servant's heart. If it's unclean, you're evil hearted. If you have a clean heart, you have a grateful heart. If it's unclean, it's an ungrateful heart. This is a hard one now. If you have a clean heart, you're forgiving. If you have an unclean heart, you're unforgiving. If you have a clean heart, it's full of love. An unclean heart is lustful. A clean heart is humble. An unclean heart is prideful and vain, and you're a vainglory seeker. A vainglory seeker is somebody, it's a new term. I learned it. And a vainglory person is someone who goes on Facebook to see how many likes they got on Facebook. Okay? I like that. I said, that's a new term for me. And then there's the peacemaker with a clean heart. And an unclean heart is a wrath stirrer. You're always stirring up wrath, throwing a rock and hiding your hand. That's what my mother used to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now you have your little piece of paper. You know what you have on it. So by the end of the service tonight, maybe you can put some of that stuff away or put some of the things that are on the unclean side, and you can do away with them for the night. And I have a little something I want to show you about sin and all those things that you may move to the other side. For instance, we ask, what can wash away our sins? Jesus, right? I heard somebody say that. And also, have you heard the terminology that when God washes our sins away, he puts them into the depth of the sea? To the depth. So, I want you to pretend that this is the ocean. Okay? These are those little beads I was telling you about. See there? That's floating. That one went down. It may come back up. It's just sins. All the way down to, can you imagine the depth of the ocean, how deep it is? Who would go down there and try to dig it out? Okay. Now the one that's still floating for me, it demonstrates when we say we've forgiven somebody and we say, oh, I buried the hatchet. But you left the handle out of the ground so you could pick it up and chop them up. Anytime you get ready, you can chop them up. That's the one that just don't want to go down. Okay? So did you really forgive that person? Did you really? So how far are our sins? They're as far as from east to the west. I don't want to spill that and be responsible for some other stuff up here. So your sins are as far from the what? The east to the west. Now just imagine if I had my measuring, and I meant to bring that with me too, a measuring, a carpenter's tool, the measuring tape. And most of them, you know, you have some that are different measurements. But let's just suppose we had one tonight that was about 100 feet long. And if we started back here with it and stretched it all the way out to the front door, I don't think it would make it. So that's how far he stretches our sins away. They're unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable. Isn't that beautiful? How God forgives us and he doesn't keep count. Oh, Lord, if he kept count. I myself would be in trouble. So now that you've done that, at some point I'm going to ask the ushers to dim the lights once more, so that and I want you to turn on your candles when they. I want them dim them really, really low, because we have another demonstration that this candle is going to represent. So can I ask you to get your candles out? And while you're doing that, I want you to think about the unclean heart and the clean heart. and what that represents. And now I want everybody to turn on their candle. To turn your candle on. Okay. And I want you to just look at that candle. And think of that candle as your heart. That's your heart. Isn't it beautiful and bright and shining? It's just a shining, like a shining star. And while you're looking at that, I want you to just think about your own heart. And then I'm going to ask the people in the back five rows to turn your candles off and hold them up in the air. Turn them off and hold them up in the air. Now I want everybody to turn around and look. I want you to look. Is that how your heart looks? What does your heart look like? Now turn them back on. So keep looking. Now turn them back on. Is that what your heart, is your heart glowing? Or is it muddy? Is it cloudy? That's what I wanted you to see. Okay, thank you. And thank you, ushers. Can we turn the lights back up? Some of you even received a mirror when you came in, or a compact. So this is our mirror test now. If you have a compact in your purse, you can pull it out and look at it. If you got a mirror like this when you came in, you can look at it and look in it. And I'll pass this one around up here in case anybody want to take a look. You got one, Pastor? Okay, we're going to bring you a mirror. You have one on your cell phone? Oh, he has a fancy cell. He has a mirror on his cell phone. Okay. Now, if we take the mirror test, and let's look in the mirror. And the reason why I want you to look in the mirror, if you have a comeback in your purse, you can do it. If someone next to you has a mirror, or use your cell phone, because you can't see your reflection in your cell phone. You can. And the reason why I'm doing this demonstration is because we're going to wash away some of that old stuff. So when you look in the mirror, I want you to think about, or look in your cell phone and see the reflection. I want you to think about some of those things that you used to do. Or still do. And you know, that's that hidden sin. That's the stuff we try to cover up. But God knows. And the other thing about that, I can tell you, there have been times when some of my old sins walk in the door of church. Oh, Lord. Ooh, some of them walk in on me, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. I hope they don't say whatever. But sometimes our old sins, they pop up. And guess what? Sometimes they can be very tempting. So I got another little thing for you. This was my medicine bag that I brought in tonight. Okay, you've already got some of that medicine. We've been using some of that medicine already. Now, you know, I talked about the physical heart and the spiritual heart. Now, when you have heart trouble, physical heart trouble, just, you know, you may have congestive heart failure, you have problems breathing, you may have a heart murmur. Your arteries may be clogged, and you go seek a doctor, or you should, to make sure that you're going to be okay. Now, your spiritual heart is one that can be fixed when you go to Dr. Jesus. Okay? He's here, and the church is here, and this is where we come. This is where my mother used to say that the church was the hospital for the sin-sick souls. Therefore, your heart can get a fixing. So are you ready to build? Are you ready to construct your heart, reconstruct your heart? And I want to tell you about six things. And most of my information tonight came from the Holy Bible. I believe in the Word, and the King James Version is where it came from. And then I had a little help from a gentleman by the name, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him, his name is Mark De Jesus. And he writes a lot of books on spiritual healing and your spiritual journey. So I want to talk about six different types of your heart. It's six stages of spiritual and emotional heart disease from the healing and freedom journey. And the first stage is a broken heart. You may never have known true love. Harmful things may have been done to you. And our Reverend Dr. B.W. McClendon has implemented an encouraging text message on Sunday mornings. He asks everybody to take out their cell phones. Some people have them out already, texting, telling everybody where to meet them for lunch or whatever. But he has given us the privilege to take that cell phone out. And I'm going to ask you to do that tonight. Take your cell phone out and text someone, God is in love with you. That's what we do on Sunday morning. God is in love with you. Some people never have love. Some people never have experienced true love in their lives. They don't even know what it's like to be loved. God is in love with you. And just find somebody you want to text it to. You may want to text it to someone who you want to offer Christ to. And we need to be careful how we treat people when they come into our doors. You know, it doesn't matter how they dressed. It doesn't matter how they smell. It doesn't matter how they look. Again, you could be entertaining an angel unaware. You don't know. You don't know. So be careful. So he encouraged us to text the message, God is in love with you. And that was developed. And that's another way for people who do not know God. They can develop a love relationship with God, with each other, and even just themselves, and learn how to love other people. And we can offer Christ for them. And we need to learn the plan of salvation in Romans 10:9-13. So when someone asks us, you know, how do I know I'm saved? Or I need salvation. When we learn the plan of salvation, we will be able to bring people to Christ. That's one thing David did. Like I said, David was wicked. But in the end, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But David, he knew how to repent. And Psalms 51, that whole psalm is a psalm of repentance. And in the very first verse, he says, oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. That's the first thing he said. In verse one, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And you remember tonight I told you about those iniquities and transgressions and sins? I remember you remember this. The golden calf. You remember when Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments? What were they doing when he came down? Everything. So, they were just worshiping their golden calf. But it represents sin, transgressions, iniquities. Okay, we talked about the broken heart. The next heart we want to talk about is a fearful heart. A fearful heart is usually filled with insecurities because we're avoiding any pain from our past. But the answer to fear is love. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Read 2 Timothy 1:7. The third spiritual and emotional heart disease problem is an angry heart. And an angry heart can be used as a defense mechanism to keep people off of us. You're always lashing out, just mad all the time. No matter what anybody say to you, you're biting them. That's an angry heart. And it also arises from unaddressed wounds. And we can address our wounds by going to counseling and having therapy sessions that can help us a lot. And an angry heart eventually turns into hate because we have so much bottled up anger that can cause you to lash out to others. And then we have number four, a hopeless heart. A hopeless heart is trying, it's just tiring, it's tiring, and it turns into depression. It carries a lot of sarcasm and negativity. Proverbs 13:2 reads, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. On the other hand, Proverbs 17:22 reads, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Remember, we're at the spiritual hospital tonight. You have an opportunity to reconstruct your heart. Even today, in real time, with technology, on the flesh side, you can receive a new heart and have a heart transplant and get somebody else's heart and still live. They even have robots now that they use to, the physician doesn't even have to touch you anymore. He just direct and speak to the robot to reconstruct your heart. And again, I want you to know that God is waiting. He's in love with you. And he's waiting for you to open your heart. If you're a person with a hard heart or you have some things in there that needs to be worked on, just leave a crack in the door for him to get in there. He'll find his way in. And he's always knocking. There was a song, "Somebody's Knocking at Your Door." Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. When will you let him in? Somebody's knocking at your door. But guess what? It's Jesus who's knocking at your door. And he's waiting for you to let him in. We go back to David. You know, David, as I said, he was wicked. But David had a contrite heart. And a contrite heart is a person who's sorrowful. They're sorry for what they did. Now, some people can tell you that they're sorry, and you can tell if they really mean it or not, if they're really sincere. You know. And sometimes when they say they're sorry, you wish they just would have just kept it to themselves because you already know they don't even mean it. You know they don't mean it. You can see it in their eyes, their face, the tone of their voice, their line. You know. So you just wish they wouldn't say anything. So I'm going to talk about David. You know, David, you know the story, Bathsheba. And how he saw her bathing and he sent for her. But behind all of that, there was a prophet named Nathan. The prophet Nathan. And he confronted David. And sometimes we're confronted, but we don't want to be convicted, so we just blow it off. But he spoke to David first in a parable, and then he had to just tell him what really was happening. But he came to him and he told him, he says, this was after David had left Bathsheba's house. Back then it was probably a tent. He came out of a tent, probably. And Nathan, the prophet Nathan, said David, that was a rich man who had many, many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. As there came a traveler upon the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that it was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he did have no pity on him. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king of Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. So David wanted to know how God was going to punish him. He let him live. But the way he explained it to David, because David didn't know what he was talking about at first. So Nathan told David, you the man. You had all of these wives, all of these wives. And that poor man, and you're a rich man. You get whatever you want. Buy it. Whatever. Steal it. You know, he was wicked, so he'd do anything. So, he took that poor man's lamb, which was his wife. But he had all these other wives over here. So, in doing so, for David to cover up, I said a few minutes ago how we cover up our stuff. David covered up his sin. And I wondered about it. Did he cover up his sin by going ahead and marrying Bathsheba and making her his eighth wife, making him her eighth wife? Was that his way of hiding what he had truly done? Because she didn't consent to come to the palace. He sent for her. She came to the palace because she thought that he was going to tell her that her husband had died. He betrayed her. So how many of you tonight have been betrayed by a good friend, by a family member, and it made your heart angry? It made your heart angry. So I know that sometimes forgiveness is very, very hard, extremely hard, but we have to find a way to ask God to move in our lives and help us to forgive. The fifth heart is a hard heart. A hard heart has lost its ability to believe. A hard heart does not hear encouragement or praise. It's closed. And it takes the Holy Spirit to open up a hard heart. A hard heart demonstrates stubbornness and it resists transformation. And the only solution for a hard heart is humility. David humbled himself. And when David was told what he had done, he was so ashamed. He just fell to his knees. He fell to his knees. And tonight, one of the things I want to share with you about my own personal experience with my son. I have one child. And I tell you, I felt like I had 100 at times. Because my son was wayward. He did a lot of things. And, you know, the truth can set you free. It can set you free. My son used to love the thug life. And I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed. In fact, here's my prayer mat. Sometimes you got to stretch out on your face and cry out to the Lord. That's what David did. He cried out to the Lord. When you get home, you read all of Psalms 51. I had to stretch out. You can see how tattered it is. But I'm going to tell you what about created me a clean heart and renewed the right spirit within me. I'm going to tell you about that from my perspective. I was so mad at my son, I wanted to bust him in his mouth. I wanted to do a lot of things to him. And I used to lay straight on my face. I prayed on my face for 11 years. And I was praying. God told me, though. He spoke to me after 11 years. He said, you're praying the wrong prayer. I'll tell you what I used to pray. Oh, Lord, give my son a clean heart. And Lord, renew the right spirit within him. And oh Lord, when he see me, Lord, let him be this and that. And finally the Lord spoke to me. He said, what about you? What about your heart? So I had to change that situation. I had to change that prayer. And then when I lay down the next time, I said, oh Lord, give me, create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. And when I see my son, allow me to receive him as the prodigal son. And allow me to open my arms for him and love him in spite of. Somebody here tonight is dealing with some wayward situations. Might not be your son, but you're dealing with some wayward situations. And forgiveness is the hardest thing to deal with when we start talking about that heart trouble. Because I had some heart trouble. To the point that it brought me to the last one, which is a numb heart when you just check out. You just check out. And sometimes you can become suicidal because you're so depressed and you're so upset and you just don't know which way to go. But again, you got to open up your heart. So, and you have to keep hope. And this is my last prop. That elephant has his trunk up. And most people know that that's a sign of hope. So I just want to leave with you tonight. Don't let your heart, don't let your household become a culture of an environment where you can't communicate, where you can't clean yourself up, because on the thrashing floor of the temple is where they put the hops, or some people call it hyssop, which was a cleansing herb. And when people walked on it, it crushed the oils out of it and it purified the air. So sometimes we have to purify the air in our homes and in our souls. So just know that somebody's knocking at your door. It's Jesus. And all you have to do is let him in. He wants you to be with him. And I want to thank you for your gift of time tonight. And all that you have allowed me to say to you. And I do hope and pray that you can reconstruct your heart. I wanted to ask Pastor ahead of time too, and I don't know if I'm out of order, but I was wondering if we could have an altar call for those who may need prayer tonight. And if you, since we have the women here and it's all about women, that we can have a prayer from one of the women. And we have an altar call for anything that we've touched on tonight that you may want to work on. And the song that touches me is, Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be in my heart, in my heart, ooh, in my heart, oh Lord, I want to be Christian in my heart, Lord, I want
in my heart, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. It's in my heart. Yes, yes, it's in my heart. Oh Lord, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Oh, it's in my heart, in my heart. Ooh, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Please pray.
Let us bow. Most gracious Lord, we come tonight after having heard a message about our hearts, about the condition of our hearts, about the need to assess our hearts to see if it needs fixing. We heard about David, Lord. He may have been a scoundrel. He may not have done right, but he loved the things that you loved. And we ask you, Lord, that you will help us to love those things that you love and to do those things that you would have us to do. Most importantly, Lord, let us have a humble heart and a forgiving heart, a servant's heart and a contrite spirit. We don't have to worry about how many followers we have on Facebook. All we need to be concerned about is our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. So Lord, let us shine a light on our hearts. Do we need to receive a visit from Dr. Jesus? Do we need a fresh place to start? Our speaker said, we were going to be different when we left here tonight. So we don't want to leave this place unchanged. We need to be what God would have us be. Men and women of faith, strong hearts, hearts that want to do right, that want to help others, go out into the world and make a difference. This is what our God wants for us. Thank you that our speaker brought to our attention what we need to do, Lord, in order to build on the foundation of love and start living in hope. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. Keep us in your protection. Keep your loving arms wrapped around us that we may stay safe, that we may be protected in the spirit, Lord, so that this life won't harm us, because we know that we're safe with you. Bless us, we pray, In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, oh, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
We've heard a word tonight. One of the things that we heard was about David. He had a repentant heart. And there may be someone here tonight who has shined a light on your heart and know that you need to receive a visit from Jesus. As she said, he's always waiting. He's always got a hand out. And he'll never let you down. So at this time, if there's someone who has looked and said, my heart is filled with the wrong things and I want to make things right. If you want to come to Jesus, all you need to do is, like David, start with a repentant heart and Jesus will do the rest. You may want to come forward tonight and give your life to Jesus. You may want to talk with someone about it. It doesn't matter how you come to Jesus. It just matters that you do come to Jesus. And it matters that you come while you have time. Because time is so fleeting. And you can't wait until your life is straight before you come to the way maker. So if there's someone tonight who wants to come to Jesus, if you want to join a church, you're welcome here at Ebenezer to become a member of the family of God here, or we will help you find a place. They all worship the same God. Every church. You may not come tonight, but remember, the cross still stands.